Hi, friends. Welcome to the By Faith Podcast. I'm your host, Christine Hoover, and I am so glad you're here. Each week this season, I'm talking with a guest about how they're using their unique gifts and talents in their specific context and season of life. My prayer for you is that by listening, you'll be encouraged, challenged, and equipped to step out by faith using your particular gifts for God's glory. I'd like to thank my sponsor for today's episode, Baker Books. Friends, do you wish you could go on a spiritual retreat to reconnect with God, but you just can't find the time? Well, Sarah Beth Marr has written a new book that brings the spiritual retreat right to you wherever you are. It's called Whispers and Wildflowers, 30 Days to Slow Your Pace, Savor Scripture, and Draw Closer to God. Over 30 days, Sarah journeys with you in her lyrical and inspiring writing, refreshing your heart and reviving your spirit. It's the perfect remedy for when you're feeling spiritually dry and in a post-winter slump. I can totally relate to that right now. Learn more about Whispers and Wildflowers at sarabethmarr.com. You can find Sarah Beth's book wherever books are sold. In the last episode of By Faith, Jared Wilson gave us some scaffolding for our discussion around spiritual gifts and service. And today I am happy to welcome Caroline Cobb to the show to continue the discussion. Caroline is a pastor's wife and mama, and she's using her creative and artistic talents to serve the Lord, specifically through singing and songwriting. Today she shares how she got started writing and performing, how she struggled with wondering if what she does really matters. Can anyone relate to that? And what sort of temptations she faces in this type of service. We also talked about how, as a mom with young children, she makes time for songwriting and how she actually writes a song. I think you'll find, as I did, that the heart behind Caroline's music is really beautiful. So friends, here is my conversation with Caroline Cobb.
I am so excited to welcome Caroline Cobb to my podcast. Welcome, Caroline.
Thank you for having me, Christine. I appreciate it.
I've kind of followed you from afar for a while. I think I came upon you because you went to a few spots with Gloria Fuhrman, and I follow her.
Oh, yes. I love her.
So then I started listening to her music, and I love your music.
Oh, thank you. Good. I'm glad.
Super fun to get to talk to you today and get to know you a little bit. So will you introduce yourself and tell us about you?
Sure. My name is Caroline Cobb, and I'm a mom. We have three kids. They're 8, 6, and 4. And then my husband, Nick, as I mentioned, is a family pastor and a discipleship pastor. So pastor of family and discipleship at a neighborhood church in our area called White Rock Fellowship. And we live in Dallas. We've moved around a lot, but we've settled back in Texas where we're from and in Dallas. And it's been good to be here and kind of establish some roots here in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
So where are you from originally in Texas?
I'm from Houston originally. Okay. And Nick is from Tyler. So.
Yay, which is where I'm from.
I know. It's so cool.
The rose capital of the world.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal.
I know. Okay. So I know somebody, I know your pastor's wife. I didn't realize this.
Before we started talking. You know Mandy?
Yeah. We went to A&M together.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Okay.
So yes, we have Mandy and I have a mutual friend who I'm really close friends with her, and she also is close friends with her. So I get to kind of sometimes hear a little bit about Mandy.
Oh, that's super cool. Yeah. I knew we would figure out some connection.
Okay. So you guys are at a church plant.
Right. Yep.
And how old is the church plant?
Well, we have only been there for 2 years. So it had been up and running and going before we got there. But, I think it's about 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah.
So it's sort of coming out of that church plant feel. And we actually just planted our first church in another neighborhood around this lake in our area called White Rock Lake.
Yeah.
And that's the hope, is to just plant little neighborhood churches out of our church that will serve just like the area right around it. So,
so when y'all get a certain size, do you plant out of that? Is that kind of the goal?
I don't think they want to box it in yet. And they kind of want to just listen to the Spirit and wait and see. But I mean, the hope is that it would kind of stay small-ish. Mm-hmm. And Dallas is, there's a lot of huge churches here.
Yeah.
And so it does serve, it's really neat how, you know, people are, the bigger churches in the area are awesome, but it just has been sweet to be in community with people right around us and in our neighborhood, you know? So,
yeah. Well, we mentioned earlier that you are a singer-songwriter, so I want to talk to you about that today.
Yes, I can't wait.
Yeah, because we're talking about serving by faith, and I think it's a very unique gifting and opportunity to get to use the arts and to be a part of the arts in service.
Right.
So I would love to just start from the beginning and ask you, how did you first know that you wanted to do this? That you wanted to do music?
Yeah, it's been such a journey. And I think it's fun to look back. I'm sure a lot of people, and maybe you feel like this with writing too, you kind of not stumble into it, but you can see God's hand, but it wasn't necessarily something that I planned to do. Like, I grew up wanting to be a singer-songwriter. So what I love to do is use music to specifically like tell these stories from scripture, to hopefully creatively and faithfully tell this big story that, you know, kind of go into the little moments in scripture, but really tell this big story that's all about Christ. And so this process, I guess, kind of went back to high school when my mom taught me a few chords on the guitar. And then I started kind of playing around with Cayman's Call songs. And
oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Cayman's Call, I remember.
Oh, yeah, I had just become a Christian. And so this journey and my faith journey actually started at the same time. So my mom taught me a few chords. And then I actually went out, it's kind of a funny story, but I went out on a date with a guy from another school. And he, that night, played me a song that he had written. And I thought it was real cute, but I also thought, like, hey, maybe I could do that. That was my thought, is maybe I could write a song. I know.
Wait. Was the song about you?
No, it wasn't about me.
Oh, okay.
This was our first date. I have no recollection of the song.
Okay.
But I do remember him playing me a song and me thinking, maybe I could do that.
Yeah.
And so I went home and like wrote a really bad song, but it was a song. And I think that's kind of what started it, is just really enjoying writing songs. And so I did that all through high school and all through college. And even in my 20s, I put out a couple albums. Like, one was a school project and one was, I just felt like I had all these songs I wanted to kind of get down. But it was really just a serious hobby for me. And right before I was about to be 30, my husband kind of sat me down in a loving way and was just like, I want you to kind of get off the fence about this. Do you want to pursue this? Is this something that you really feel called to do? Because if not, it's really expensive for a hobby, you know?
Right.
Recording albums is so expensive.
Yeah.
And at the same time, if it is something you're called to do, let's do it. And you figure out a way to make it sustainable and let's go. It was very loving. It sounds like it was like a budget meeting, but it was like very loving, yeah, kick in the pants. And challenging and good. And so I started trying to think through that. And then at the same time, I was about to be 30 and I decided to make this goal to write a song for every book of the Bible in a year, because I loved God's word and I loved writing songs. And so I thought, that'll be cool. And I did. So I did. And then that year of writing just launched this passion in me to tell these stories. It was so fun to, you know, like week after week, just dive into a story and let it travel through me and then try to translate that into a song and to get to play with the things that songwriters have in their tool belt, like perspective or, you know, melody, or is this going to be in a minor key, or what is it going to sound like? What would it feel like if I was to communicate this story in a song? And so it's just such a fun year. And then I started playing those songs at concerts. And then I was like, man, I wish people could have this in their car. And so everything just kind of was one step in front of the other. And then finally, I was like, I'm a singer-songwriter. This is not a hobby. I'm going to do this right. And so I got a producer and raised money and made the first album. And then I just came out with the second album too. Well, it's been more than a year. It feels new to me, but it's been around.
Yeah.
So both albums kind of tell this big story. Starting in Genesis and all the way.
I have so many questions about
Sorry. I just talked so loud.
No, I mean, you just jumped from a date to now I'm producing, you know, records. And I know there's a lot of time in there, but I'm thinking about when you're sitting in your room as a teenager and you're writing songs, how did you first think, I'm going to actually play this song out loud? Like, I'm not crazy. I'm going to let somebody hear what my thoughts are written out in a song.
Well, first I would just play for my parents. And they're like, this is great. So it took a while for me to play for other people. And so then I would play for, in college, I played for very safe friends. And then this is interesting, actually, one of my good friends in college, another sovereign kick in the pants from a friend was that my sweet friend Erin signed me up for an open mic night without me knowing.
Oh.
And for my birthday, she gave me a piece of paper that said, you're signed up to play.
So, oh no. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday. And I guess I could have said no, but I just felt the challenge and I did it. And so I think, you know, I've slowly gotten more and more comfortable. And then now that I'm sharing songs that are really God's stories, I mean, they definitely have been really personal for me as well, mm-hmm. but they're not really my stories only. And so I think it's become even easier to share because I'm just this conduit for something much bigger, you know?
Yeah. It's not really about you. It's about sharing the story.
Right.
Jesus.
Not that it, I mean, I think it's great to play a song that's about, you know, your love life or something. I think that's, God can totally use that too. But for me, this specific thing that I'm getting to tell about mm-hmm. has freed me up from worrying about, you know, putting it out there.
So. Okay. So my other question was, when your husband sat you down and it became more of something you were pursuing, when you said, I finally said, I'm a singer-songwriter.
Right.
To say, to label yourself that, I remember that same thing for me as a writer.
I bet.
To say, to tell people,
right.
I am a writer.
When they ask, what do you do?
Yeah. To say that, and, but not even to tell other people, but to tell myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm doing. God mm-hmm. has opened this door for me. And that didn't mean publishing. That means this is something he's compelling me to do. Was it really a huge deal to me? Was it to you as well?
Oh, definitely. I think there's two kind of like ways you can fall off the middle and the line that God has for you. And when you feel called to do it, you can either, you know, have a false humility of like, oh, I'm not really that, but it's really, that's just fear keeping you from saying God's called me to do this. Or maybe once you've had a book out or once you have an album out or people recognize your name a little bit, then we can start putting our identity in that.
Oh yes.
Say, I am a singer-songwriter. That's all I am, you know? And it's like, there's this middle ground where I feel compelled to do this because I feel that is always the next step for me to take. And I'm walking by faith in this thing. You know, I think that was a huge step for me to call it what it is and not just to act like it was a really like a hobby that I did on the side, you know?
So. Yeah. Oh yeah. I think what you're describing is exactly what I'm going for with this season on serving, that we're trying mm-hmm. to serve and use what God has given us, both skill and opportunity, to do it by faith, believing that God can use it somehow and that it's about him.
Right.
So how do you keep your motivation in that narrow path that you just described?
That's a good question. How do I kind of keep that motivation centered?
Yeah. That it's not about you and your skill and building a platform to get more and more people to hear your music, but it's about God and trusting him that you're going to do the hard work.
Right.
But that work is for him to do with what he wants.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've still struggled even every time I put something out. I don't know if you feel this, but every time I put something out, I feel a little bit of a low after the first wave of work and excitement and response dies away. And I think part of it is a lie that, does this really matter?
Yep.
Like, why are you spending your time doing this when you could be sitting across the table from someone, discipling them all day long, you know?
Right.
Or even this summer, asking the Lord, and I think part of it was good, just having open hands, like, mm-hmm. I will give this up if you want me to. I don't want this to be my identity. I don't want to pursue this if this is not what you have for me. But then at the same time, some of it was fear of just doing the wrong thing. This is too messy. There are too many temptations in this. I can't tell if it matters because it's music. I put it out there and then I don't know what the fruit is all the time. Should I just be doing women's ministry? Because like, shouldn't I just like work full time for a church? Because I know that matters, you know? And I think it's this idea that there's one way to serve the Lord. And I feel like he's given me a lot of freedom in that, through friends and through the truth and his word of, you know, recognizing how I'm created, recognizing that I have something to steward and to give and to walk freely in that. You know, a bird glorifies the Lord by being a bird and a fish by being a fish. And when a fish tries to be a bird, things don't go well. And so just being confident in that this is a way that I have felt God's pleasure and have felt him use me and it does matter. But always also being willing to give it up, to hold it loosely. It's been a hard thing to walk, but I think he's given me a lot of freedom in that even in the past year. So it's still a journey.
That is so great. I can relate to everything you're saying. And I think also it's hard because you look, at least for me, I look around in my church and you can kind of, just what you described. I mean, there's roles that people can play that are very clear. And for me, I mean, I'm a pastor's wife. That's another role that's pretty clear. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's not anybody around me who necessarily is doing similar things to me. And so I often feel like I don't have anybody walking that path where I can kind of follow behind them or I can kind of emulate them. And I do connect with people outside of online and all that. But I think sometimes is that hard for you to, because you feel, I don't want to say it's like, oh, there's no one like you. Like you're so unique and you're an exception. But do you feel sometimes that tension of, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think I have felt, I have prayed about God, give me like a group of people that will be alongside me and we can do this thing together. Because I feel this tension of, not living in Nashville and not, you know, my friends are not musicians and I'm one of the only songwriters in my neighborhood that I know, or, you know, that kind of thing. And so just, it makes you wonder again, does it matter? Is this an important work that God has for me to do? And I don't really know the answer to that, except for I think God's answer to me in one hand is walk freely in this next, just be faithful and show up and do what I've called you to do in this season. Maybe one in another season you will be a women's minister at a church, like full time. And I just need to trust him in this season that this is where he has me. And then also he's given me more friends than I realize, just because they're not just like me and speaking just into my life through online. And I have friends that live in Nashville and in other places that are songwriters, but I have friends right here too that can speak into my life as not a songwriter, actually be very beneficial to me and guarding me against some of the lies that we all fall into. All of us songwriter creative types fall into. And just being thankful for the people that I have that are reality checks for me, right around me. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I relate to that. That feeling of isolation too. And the idea that I think God also is just saying, I am your friend. Like, I think that's a little bit weird for me sometimes to think about, but that he is with me and anything that has ever really helped the music get out there and grow, anyone that's found it, that has spread the word, most of the time it's nothing that I had planned or strategized or manipulated. You know what I'm saying? It's no door that I had pushed open. And so just trusting him and his timing and you know, that I just show up and be faithful. And he can make it grow if he wants to in his time, you know, just trusting him with the little plot of land that's right in front of me to till and grow. So
I feel like you're giving a good voice to the reality of serving in an artistic way. I think a lot of times, you know, for me, I don't know anything about songwriting or playing a concert or anything. And so I can tend to look at people who have these skills and think, oh, it's so glamorous. It must be so fun to do those things. But having done writing myself, I can kind of see now that there are temptations and challenges that other people might not really realize. And I would love to hear from you, what are some of the challenges that you face that we might not realize?
Yeah, I think we talked a little bit about just how I struggled even to know if it matters, comparing my race with other people's races and what faithfulness looks like. And I think that that's been a huge thing that God has been teaching me about success and faithfulness for me won't necessarily yield the same results or look the same as success or faithfulness for someone else. And so I think, and just walking freely in what he's called me to do, no matter the results or the outcome, I think has been a huge temptation and way that he's grown me. Mm-hmm. Another one, I think, is the temptation to let the urgent tasks and things that I need to do, the email that needs to be written, the Instagram post that I feel like I'm need to put on there, or you know, that meeting I need to have, kind of crowd out the actual sitting down creative time. And there's an element of trust there. I think trusting that time, I feel a little bit out of control when I sit down with my guitar and my Bible, because I can show up, but only God can really bring a song or bring life into something that somehow, you know, I'm wrestling to the ground here, you know, only God can make the song come. And so sometimes it feels like checking the boxes and doing tasks and other things feel more efficient. They feel like they're accomplishing something. I feel like I'm in control of my day. And sitting down to write a song actually feels like it's not accomplishing anything. And so weirdly, as a singer-songwriter, I can crowd out that actual carving out the creative time. And I think that I've been feeling convicted to carve out that time, because over the long haul, of course, that's actually what will create the most meaningful content, Lord willing, or not. But it's this exercise of trust that I have to show up and be faithful to try to write, and God can make that seed grow if he wants, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that's been a huge temptation. And then of course there's all the temptations of comparing, especially in this social media age, like you mentioned, just, wow, she got that opportunity, or she knows that person, like how can I do that? And just catching myself in that. And again, saying, Lord, you're in control, grow this at your pace. You're protecting me. You're keeping me in your will. Put me in the center of where I can be flourishing. Let me tend this little plot of land instead of trying to be grabby for more. And so I think that's a big one too, just comparison and worrying about what other people think and all of those things. And I think it's tied in this social media age. I think that's amplified.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes. And so just being careful with that, mm-hmm, for sure.
So how do you carve out time for creative work? Especially you have young children, you mentioned earlier. So can you help us know what that looks like in your week?
Yeah, they are entering into like school age. My youngest is going to go to kindergarten next year, and they go to school during the day. So my youngest is home. She goes to school pre-K like 3 days a week. And so I do have that time. There are other things going on in there as well. But as an independent artist, I have to wear all the hats. And so I have this booking part of my job and a publicity part of my job and, you know, just the admin part of my job and all the emails coming in and making chord charts. There's just all these little things that people don't necessarily know. And so those things can crowd in, and I feel like I have to get those done because those feel so urgent, but they're really not. And so I think it's about putting the writing time first in the day and saying every Tuesday I will write for 3 hours, you know, or 2 hours. And I might sit there and just wrestle with a passage and write a really bad song and nothing will ever come. But if I'm faithful to keep showing up and asking the Lord to work in this showing up, then God will, you know, hopefully provide eventually. And if he doesn't, it's an exercise in trust and in his, you know, in his plan and submitting to his will for that. But I think my job is to show up and to carve that time out. Don't let myself look at my phone. Don't let myself check my email when it gets really hard, but just zone in. And it's such a joy. Usually if I sit down and do it, about 2 hours in, I don't care about my email. I don't want to book any show. You know, I'm just in the zone. I'm enjoying it. And so I think that the hardest part is just starting and carving it out and protecting it every week. And I don't do it perfectly and I've struggled, but that's what I hope to do. Mm-hmm. So.
Whenever I first started writing, I would mine was very similar, where I had maybe 3 hours a week that I had to decide to choose. I chose that I was going to use that time to write. That was the hardest decision to even choose that. I thought I could be doing my laundry. I could be meeting somebody for coffee, like all the things you said earlier.
Right.
And then once I decided to do it, I remember just sitting there for hours wrestling with my own thoughts. Like, why am I here? I can't do this. I have nothing to say. I don't know how to write. And so I probably for like a year or two, that's what I did for 3 hours. And then finally, you know, just all that wrestling and wrestling, there was still this compulsion in me to do it. And eventually it became just like second nature to sit down. Not that the words came.
Right.
But at least I'm like committed and disciplined to do it. Like you said, show up and do the work and trust that God's going to give me the right words when I need them. And he always does.
Yeah. And sometimes in some seasons, like when I had three at home and in California, we used to live in California and there were three at home and they were little and childcare was really expensive there. So I didn't put them in preschool very many days, if at all. I just asked a friend and I paid her a little bit to keep them for 2 hours. And that was all I had all week was 2 hours. But I made myself write during that time, even though, like you said, there was a million other things I could do. And sometimes it was going to a place that wasn't my house. So I didn't see the dishes in the sink or the dishes that was unmade. And again, turning off the phone and just being, letting myself be there.
Yeah.
So I think in different seasons, it looks different. And I'm kind of entering into a season where there's actually more time. But what's funny is there's more temptation to kind of like hoard that time. Like I don't have a lot of time, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that even as, I think it's, what's kind of cool about having only a short amount of time to do it in is that it makes you be like, this is what I'm have to do. Nothing else. Mm-hmm. I have to do it, you know? So,
and that's where it comes in where I would have to tell people I can't get together because I'm writing. And it was so scary.
I'm a writer.
I know, I was so scared to say it out loud. But I would love for you to speak. I'm thinking of women who are listening who maybe they're not singer-songwriters, they're not writers, they're not really pursuing any kind of professional or, you know, this isn't a business, but they're just, they need permission to be creative and to have those creative pursuits in their life. Those feel indulgent and frivolous a lot of times, at least speaking for myself. So what would you say to women about using their creativity in a way that blesses the Lord, even if it's just them in their room scrapbooking or taking pictures or whatever?
Yes, totally. I think that our culture just values so much this big splash or the big extraordinary thing that you see out. But I think it's those hidden habits that people don't see. And also I'm thinking about just remembering that we are not God and God is God. And so that allows us actually to take something like a rest, to take a Sabbath, to sit down and create something which doesn't feel like it matters, but it actually does matter because in that we're saying, this is a way that I'm worshiping you, or this is a way that you've created me to be. And I'm celebrating the fact that you're a creative God and that I can create. And because you're God and I'm not, I can leave things undone. I can rest from this task-oriented culture that I find myself in where it's just this frenetic pace. I can rest and create, and it does matter. And I think it just benefits our souls so much, and we don't realize that sometimes we need to stop, and it can be an act of worship. It can be an act of saying of surrender when we're just in our room creating by ourselves. Mm-hmm. And if someone's writing a song or creating something for one friend or even just for themselves, mm-hmm. I feel like people need to hear that it matters. Mm-hmm. I think it matters. I think God takes the small and the weak things of the world, and that one little song that you wrote for your friend who's struggling with that thing, no one else could have written your friend that song, you know? Mm-hmm. But they needed that song, or they needed that handmade, you know, hand lettering that you did for them of that Bible verse. But no one knew that they needed that except for you. And so you're using your creativity to bless and to image God with your friend and to rest in his control. I think that, yeah, just be free. That's what I want to say to people. And I'm saying that to myself, be at peace and be free. And just enjoy what God's given you to make and create. I think, yeah.
That's great. But I do want to talk about using creative skills within the church. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we don't quite know what to do with, you know, creative arts in the church, besides we have worship leaders, and that's great. But how can we, or how would you encourage those who are listening to either use their gifts in the church or pastors to kind of cultivate and bring people into the work of the ministry of the church using their creative talents?
Right. I think it's something that I'm still learning about and learning, you know, how to walk through that. Just the other day, I got to sit down with our worship leader and another woman in the church, and we wrote a song for our church to sing in worship. And we're going through the book of Joshua. And so it's like a really hard, there's not a lot of worship songs that really coordinate with Joshua. Yeah. And it's a really hard book to write a song from. But we did. And so the church has been able to use that. I think what's hard is this tenderness of wanting to free your artists to create, but not necessarily putting them front and center every week just because they wrote a poem. Okay, we'll put them up there, right? So I think there's, this is something I don't have expertise in, but I've seen other people do it well, where one idea is to whatever series you're walking through, or let's say you're walking through the Psalms, to harness and inspire your artist to say, we want you to create from what you're hearing and learning. And then maybe at the end of a series, you have maybe one of the songs that's risen to the top, or maybe a few of the art pieces displayed in your church at the end. And that in turn is this sweet symbiotic relationship, because that builds up the church. So I really feel like music and art helps get this truth that we're learning out of our head and kind of into our gut. Like, you can feel something in a song sometimes that you don't necessarily feel when you just hear it read. You know, there's a bit of a magic in art, and I think God designed it that way. And so that's one idea that I've seen play out. Or maybe you have an art show or an open mic night where at the end of a series, everyone gets to just share, you know, and people can come if they want. It's not necessarily part of the service, but it's another way of harnessing your artists and giving them freedom to create. And then also allowing them to serve the church as they create their work. And that draws us and points us back to Christ, you know, and back to what we've been learning. I think that's so cool. And I, you know, that's a way I think the church could grow. And that's something that I don't really know how to implement necessarily, but I've seen people do it.
So are you using your singing and songwriting in your local church?
My, the worship pastor is a good friend. And so they had been singing some of the songs like before we even got to the church. So yeah, they do sing some of the songs, but I think there's a freedom where sometimes it's not the right fit, you know? And, so I'll, yes, for special music or maybe for a worship song, they'll use some of the songs, but maybe not all. And, so I think as artists, we have to have the humility and the open-handedness with our work that we can say, hey, I'd love it if you use it, but you don't have to. And then make sure your worship leader knows that they don't have to sing your song, you know, and it's for the service of the church. It's not so you can get your song sung, you know,
keeping that
as our center. And that helps me recalibrate too.
Yeah. I can relate to that too, because I think I thought whenever my first book came out that everyone I knew would read it and everyone would interact with it. And that didn't happen. And that doesn't happen with each book that comes out. Like, there's some people probably in my church who don't even know that that's what I do. And, and that's okay with me. And I think at times it hasn't been okay. You know, I thought, well, because it was about me, it was about, I want everybody to respond to me and to what I've done, but I've had to come to terms with that this is for the edification of the church, the larger church, my local church. If people if they want to. Some people don't read, they don't pick up books, but that can be challenging sometimes to just let it be what it is and not, again, going back to what you're saying, trusting God that he will use it how he wants.
Right.
It's not about me. I'm doing this for his service.
Right.
So I would love to talk about criticism and about reviews. I mean, some of the things that people do creatively, they get put out and people make comments or they leave reviews about your work. And have you struggled at all with criticism? And if so, how are you navigating that?
You know, I haven't had any like scathing criticism or anything like that. So I think perhaps God knew I couldn't handle that. I'm too weak for that. But at the same time, I think that one thing I was thinking about before we talked is just this idea from 2 Corinthians 4 that we're jars of clay. I think that is a really freeing image for us as creatives, that we are carrying a treasure, but we are not the treasure, right? Mm-hmm. In fact, we are broken. We are jars of clay. We have cracks and creases. And because of those cracks and creases, the treasure is seen as more glorious, not less, almost sometimes, right? So of course we want to do things with excellence and we want to practice, we want to be skilled, but at the same time, God can use us in our weakness and as we are boasting only in him. So I think that keeps me safe a little bit. The gospel kind of dispels this idea that if someone's criticizing my work or if someone doesn't like me or if someone thinks another CD was the best CD of the year and mine is like number 12, well, I should be like, great. But you know, there can be a jealousy or like, hey, but did you really listen? Because it's awesome. You know, and, so just this idea though, that, I'm a jar of clay, I'm a servant of Christ and this is his message and this is his story and I'm a conduit and a vehicle for his story, saves me and comforts me when I try to make it about me. Mm-hmm. It comforts me when I mess up. I mean, when I play a concert, like, I've played a song a million times, but for some reason I can't remember the second verse and I'm like, I don't know. And I'll stop in the middle. I'm like, I don't remember it. Does anyone here know it? And, just when I mess up or when I do things like that, just knowing like, you know, I will mess up, I will fail, I will not be perfect, but I am so comforted by the fact that this treasure that I carry is going to maybe be more glorified by my brokenness and my cracks and my creases, and what kind of love that God would give us this message of reconciliation and us this story as flawed people that are not as skilled as this other person, or as, you know, what am I doing out here getting to share this story through these songs? So yeah, I think that's a protection against criticism. It's also a protection against just caring about what people think or fearing failure for me. Just this idea that we're jars of clay and that his treasure is so glorious and I want to boast only in him.
Yeah, that's great. What have been some of your greatest joys in doing what you're doing?
Yeah, I think it really is a joy to sit down with the Bible and a guitar. It's sort of a way of interacting with God that is special and engages my mind and my heart at the same time. And so I really find joy in actually doing the work of sitting down and writing, which makes it all the more silly that sometimes that gets crowded out.
Yeah.
I do find joy in that. I find joy in getting to play the songs for other people and then hearing their stories of how it's impacted them. I don't feel like God owes me that I need to know all the fruit that it's bearing. But when I do hear of a way that a specific song deeply affected someone in a specific way, it just is such an encouragement to my heart. And it helps me realize it's sort of God saying it does matter. You know, again, he doesn't owe me that, but it's a mercy that he shows me that sometimes, especially when I'm doubting that. So that's a joy, just to interact with real people And I really would rather the songs have a deep impact on a few than a big, wide, shallow impact. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A big impact on many, an impact on many people that's a shallow impact. That's just mm-hmm. a quick, like, oh, that's a good song. So when I hear the deep impact that a song has made on one person, I feel like that's such an encouragement for me.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. So where can we find your music?
Yes. It's on all of the streaming things like Spotify and Apple Music. And it's also on iTunes and Bandcamp where you can pay for it. And then if you're still listening to physical CDs or you just want to buy one as a coaster or something, I have them on my website.
That's good. Yeah. I want to know, do you have the, when you said you sat down and wrote songs for all 66 books of the Bible, mm-hmm. is that where we can get that?
Well, a lot of them are on the first album that I put out.
Okay.
And then there's even one or two that made it onto the second album that I had kind of saved because they didn't really go with the theme of the first album.
Okay.
But if you search hard, you can find a bunch of demos on Bandcamp for all the songs. But wow. I have to say, they're not all very good. Very good. I think that's part of being a writer is that you have to write. You have to have permission to just write a bad song.
And oh, yeah.
That's what I love to do is just write as many as I can. And the strong ones, they do rise to the top and they end up sticking, you know?
Yeah.
So,
which is what for you?
For Leviticus on there.
Leviticus, wow. What is your favorite? What are the songs, though, that have risen to the top for you that you really.
Of my own songs?
Yes. Or? Like that you're like, this really is one of my favorite songs that God has given me.
I think different ones at different times, but there's a song on the album. The first song is called There's a Mountain, and it's about this upside downness of the gospel. And I wrote it when I really needed to remember the gospel mm-hmm. pretty much. Mm-hmm. And that has been a good song for me to go back to and to remember. And it's really fun when a song kind of takes a life of its own and then kind of goes on and lives outside of you. So I almost feel like I'm singing it back to myself and over everyone else. Mm-hmm. So that one, I think that's the one that first came to my mind. There's also a song called Only the Sick Need a Physician that I'm thankful for that I get to sing over mm-hmm. people. So
that's so great.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny, but whenever I first started writing just privately myself, I decided to I was going to write a blog post every day about a book of the Bible. And I did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I did that with writing. Isn't that funny?
We're the same person.
I know.
What's your book about that?
None of it's out there. So, but that's where I learned, like, I feel like that's how mm-hmm. I learned to kind of process what God was teaching me was by doing that exact same thing. So that's kind of funny.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love it.
Well, I'm super, super honored that you would spend your time talking with me today. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Christine. I appreciate it a lot.
Don't you want to hear Caroline's music now? Head on over to Spotify or iTunes or go digging for the goods on her songs for each book of the Bible on Bandcamp. Whatever it takes, go listen and I promise you will be blessed. I've linked to the song she mentioned, There's a Mountain, which is actually one of my favorites as well, and the song Only the Sick Need a Physician in the show notes. I'm having so much fun with these conversations on Serving by Faith. If you're new here, first of all, welcome. I am so honored you are here. Second, I want you to know that I've done previous seasons on Suffering by Faith, Ministry by Faith, and Friendship by Faith. I hope you'll scroll through old episodes and download some that interest you. You'll definitely want to check out Zach Eswine on Our Inconsolable Things, Sarah Hagerty on Discouragement and Parenting, Kelly Needham on Healthy and Unhealthy Friendship, Shauna Pilgreen on Loving Our Neighbors, and well, all of them. My guests have just been incredible. Join me next week as I speak with author Christy Purifoy about being what she calls a placemaker in our homes, neighborhoods, and communities. Christy shares about her gift of hospitality and how she's using it in simple and even unexpected ways. She also shares how we can cultivate a sense of place, even if we don't have much space or money.
This conversation will free up all the perfectionists and introverts out there, I promise. So stay tuned till next week. And until then, friends, have a great week and keep walking forward by faith.